text that we'll be moving all around tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Great to see everyone. Hope everyone had a great afternoon. I appreciate the time that I have to spend with you again this evening and look forward to the rest of the week as we talk about the idea of shining as lights. All things break down over a period of time. How many of you have ever hit a pothole as you're driving on the road? Everybody. I mean, that happens. You look at a building, buildings fall apart. When I was a little kid, I was visiting my Aunt Mary, and I wanted a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and so she got the peanut butter, I got the jelly out, I opened it up, and all the sugar had separated from it. It had been in the refrigerator that long. And I go, ooh. And she said, oh, it's still good, and she mixed it all up, and I still went, ooh. Oh, that wasn't cool. Everything breaks down over time. Religion breaks down too. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul is talking about a particular problem happening there within the church in Corinth. The problem was they began to value a lot of things that they were putting too much value in. They were valuing especially the speaking in tongues and the public display, it seems, as you look within the text. And Paul had to give them a lesson that there are some things, in fact, there is one thing that is more important than anything like that. I think we struggle with that sometimes. There are a lot of things that we begin to think are very valuable. And they have their place. Let's make this clear before we go any farther. How we worship God is important. And making sure that we do the right things in the right ways is important. But Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 12 there is something of deeper importance that underlies all of it. And that's love. Love is the preeminent thing as we look at Christianity. And a lot of times it's hard for us to measure that metric within our lives. It's a lot easier to say, how many times have you been to worship services? I can count that. How much money do I give on a regular basis? I can count that. How many chapters of the Bible have I read this week? I can count that. How much have I loved my fellow man and my fellow Christian? That's a little harder. And so if we're not careful, we begin to put down the idea of love. And I've heard preachers do it, and I've probably done it too, if I'm honest. I've heard preachers say things like, well, that was just a lesson on love. You ever heard something like that? The reality is this. Love is the fundamental concept of Christianity. Other things are important, and they have their place. But just like Paul is trying to communicate in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, if we don't have love in our life, everything else falls apart. So tonight I want to talk about shining as lights in love. I want to begin by talking about, first of all, the preeminent nature of love in Scripture. And I'm going to hit you with a lot of verses very quickly. You will not be able to follow along in your Bibles. Just read up here and listen. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Leviticus 19, verse 18, you shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 8, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. John 3, 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Romans 5, verse 8, but God showed his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John 3, verse 1, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Matthew 22, verse 37, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Galatians 5, 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. 1 John 4, 19 through 21, we love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he does not love his brother whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must love his brother also. Romans 13, verses 9 through 10. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Romans 12, verse 10. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Matthew 22, 39 through 40. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Galatians chapter 5, verse 14. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Matthew 5, 43 through 44. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be the sons of your Father who is in heaven. John 15, verse 18, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Philippians 2, 2 through 4, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord with one another. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Colossians chapter 3, 12 through 15, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. John 13, verses 34 through 35, Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. Listen, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples. If you have love for one another. 1 Corinthians 12, 31 through chapter 13, verse 1. But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a more excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. So now, faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Beloved, we need love in the world today. Everywhere we go, it seems like we are falling apart as a race at the seams. Black is turning against white. White is turning against black. Democrats are turning against Republicans. Republicans are turning against Democrats. And sadly enough, this is all within the Lord's church. And we come in and we sit in our assemblies and we sing songs and we pray, but we bite and devour one another. And a lot of times the world is not impressed. We've got to learn to shine in love with one another. Because Paul tells us that love is the more excellent way. As you come to chapter 13, Paul lists three things that oftentimes get higher pressed than love. The first one is, love is more excellent than supposed spirituality. Look, if you look spiritual to a lot of people, you're gold. If you can lead singing, if you can lead a prayer, if you can get up here on Wednesday night and make a talk or the Lord's Supper talk or even preach a sermon or teach a class, people think you're fantastic. You know, you got it all together. But we've all known people who seem spiritually minded and they've got messed up lives that eventually come out and they don't have it together because they don't love their husband or their wives or their children or their brethren. And the second thing he brings up is that love is more excellent than prophecy, knowledge, and faith. You go, well, that's tough right there, right? Because those are all important things. I mean, we're here right now so we can gain knowledge. We want to learn, right? And so we want to encourage people to study the Word of God. But have you ever known someone who studied the Word of God all the time, but it never changed them? There is a theologian, I use that term loosely, in North Carolina by the name of Bart Ehrman. I don't know if you've ever heard about him. He is at best an agnostic and at worst an atheist, and he teaches theology. It's all just information to some people. A lot of people have knowledge, but they don't have love. And then the Apostle Paul said that love is more excellent than acts of generosity and self-sacrifice in chapter 13. If you give yourself over to the point where you even die, Paul said, but if you do it and you don't have love, you've missed it. Well, how does that work? Well, some people, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, they give to be seen by other people, but they're not giving because they have this genuine love for God and their fellow man. Love is the more excellent way. And so I think that begs a question. Why is love more excellent? There's an American writer by the name of Arthur Ward. He wrote this, "We are most like beasts when we kill. We are most like men when we judge. We are most like God when we forgive." I would amend that and say that we are most like God when we love. Because God, at the core of who He is, God is love. And when we love, we pull ourselves all alongside of God and we become what He made us to be. You remember what we were told in Genesis chapter 1? We are made in the image of God. Everything about our life as Christians is to reflect God. That's it. That's what we're here for. And when I read a statement like, God is love, that tells me that's my mission purpose in life. Not to make sure I show up at all the assemblies. Again, let me just qualify that. I'm not saying you shouldn't be here. You need to be here. The more you love God, the more you love your brethren, there will be nowhere else you'll be. But we have this idea that I'm showing up and I'm giving, I'm doing all this stuff, but I don't have love. Paul says, you're missing it. Why? Because God's love. And what God wants us to do is become like Him over and over again. Romans 8 verse 29. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined, listen, to be conformed to the image of His Son. God wants us eventually in the heavenly realm to be like His Son. But I'm convinced even here, as we are seeking to follow Him, we ought to be more like Him. 1 John 3 verse 2, beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when He appears, we will be like Him. Again, that's talking about our transformation. But if God is love, then when we are transformed, we're going to be taken into a new state of living, and that's going to be a state defined by love. And God brings us here right now and allows us to start the training ground. Because I also think this is true. When we love and when we feel love, that is the closest to what heaven will be like here on earth, when we're here. I want you to think about that. That was shared with me by a preacher years ago. And the more I thought about it, the more blown away I was by that. You and I, right now while we're here on earth, we can begin to experience what heaven is going to be like to some degree. Because if God is love, and we're going to be made like Him, and love is everlasting, faith, hope, and love, but the only one that will abide forever is love, then when we love right now, we begin to get a taste of what heaven's going to be like. When you love your husband or your wife, that's a small taste of what heaven's going to be like forever. When you love your parents, or you reach over in that time of need and you hold your best friend's hand and you know they're there because they love you, that's a small taste of what heaven's going to be like. I find that idea fascinating. That right now, God has given us the potential to begin to see what heaven is going to be like. Because God is love, and heaven is love, and that's why love is so excellent, and that's why it's so important for us right now to be embracing the idea of striving to love people more and more, because love never fails. It is never wrong to love someone else. It is never wrong to be kind to someone else. It is never wrong in that moment of conflict with a brother or sister in Christ to say, I love you. I know from the standpoint of debates, we don't want to cede any ground. This isn't about a debate, beloved. We are the children of God. And God calls upon us to be different. as I say all this, I'm preaching to myself as much as I'm preaching to anybody else. It is so difficult sometimes to love. And part of that is because we have this idea that love is about a feeling. A feeling can come from love, but love is about a determination we have. I want to do what is best for someone else. I may not feel like it, but because they are someone that God loves, I'm going to love them. We'll talk about that more in just a few moments. Now, what does love look like? Well, open your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's just like I said this morning, this is a list that we could spend a lot of time going through. You're smart. You can figure this out. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to be able to understand what Paul is telling us here in verses 4 through 8. What is love? Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. If you're honest with yourself, how many of you, when you read through that list, see that you fail in loving? Well, you're a pretty impressive group. We all do, guys. All of us. And the issue is, while we're here in this human form, we may still struggle a lot with this, but we've got to understand that's the standard, okay? This is not something just to be read at weddings, okay? This is something that becomes a defining statement of who we are as Christians. And it's really difficult. It's a lot easier for me to show up at services every week than for me to love like that. It's a lot easier for me to give a check in the collection plate than for me to live like that. It's a lot easier for me not to use an instrument of music than for me to love like this. That's hard. And that's why I'm afraid a lot of Christians don't do it well. And I have to be challenged when I read through this, and I want to challenge you. The world needs us to shine. You need to be shining at work. You need to be shining at school. You need to be shining on social media. And beloved, social media can be a pretty dark place right now. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm not saying it's sinful. But I think a lot of Christians are destroying their testimony as a servant of God by the things that they post. I just want to challenge you to remind yourself, when you go online, you're not white first or black first. You're not a Republican first or a Democrat first. You're a child of God. And everything you post needs to be something that ultimately seeks to reflect God. That does not mean that you cannot stand against evil. God stands against evil. It does mean that when I stand against evil, I'm seeking to do so not because I'm frustrated and I want to shake my fist at the world, but because I'm seeking to show love. Needs us to shine. So how do we do this? Okay. One of the things I learned early on in preaching is sermons are almost like going to the doctor. You don't want to just hear what's wrong. You want to get some kind of idea. How do I fix this? So I want to give you several things that I think can help you based upon biblical verses and help me to love more. Because some people struggle with love. I was listening to, as I was driving down here, a radio program, and this guy was interviewing a psychopath. You know what a psychopath is? A psychopath is someone who has no feelings. They have no regard for their fellow man. And this guy had almost killed his father with a hammer. It was fascinating listening to this. Now, in this interview, you learned that the man had become a Christian. At least that's what he says, okay? And he had changed, but he's talking about how, you know, he was hitting his father with his hammer. He felt nothing. And there are some people out there, I don't know, maybe there's someone here who, the reality is they have no feelings for anybody. So how do you change that? For you college students coming in, and this is a new congregation for you, how do you learn to love these people here? Let me give you seven things. First of all, submit to God. That's the foundational point. You're not going to love a black person. You're not going to learn to love a white person. Especially when you've got anger in your heart. Until you first submit yourself to God. Galatians 5:22, we read this a few moments ago, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. I gain a lot of hope out of this passage. Because what this passage, I believe, tells us is, when we submit to God, and we allow God's Spirit through the Word to begin to change our life, love is going to happen. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And I take comfort in that because there are times that I don't see how I'm going to change. The good news is God will change us if we submit. So if you're struggling sometimes, how do I learn to love my fellow man or my brother in Christ, the one who's angered me? The first thing we've got to do, beloved, is we've got to make sure we just submit ourselves to God. It's not about us anymore. It is about God and what He wants out of us. Number two, value people as the creation of God. Again, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. God the Father says to God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Everyone has the ability and the potential to bear the image of God in the world. I don't care if they are uneducated, if they've had just rotten luck in life and they're panhandling out there. Everyone's made in the image of God. Everyone can bear the image of God to the world, and that gives them value. And I need to remind myself of that. Number three, be grateful for what people can do. Open your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're not going to read all of this, but I did just want to point this out. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul is trying to show that every Christian has value. Verse 12, for just as the body is one and has many members, for all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all are made to drink in one Spirit. Paul's point there is everybody's the same and everybody comes to the body. And if you know the Bible, you know in the following verses, Paul talks about the body as if it's literally a body. And he talks about the ear and the eye and the foot. And his point is that every part of the body has value to it. If you're an eye, you can do what you do because there are spiritual nerves here in the congregation that help you to accomplish that. There are spiritual feet that help you go where you go. So it's not just about us. Everybody brings something to the body of Christ. We got a brother at Douglas Hills who I've never seen him or heard him lead a public prayer. Not one. I've never heard him give a public exhortation. Not one. I've never seen him teach a class. Not one. Well, he's not very valuable then, is he? No one in our congregation does more to help people every day than this guy. Nobody. Hands down. Okay. Nobody. I mean, it is remarkable seeing what this man does. And he doesn't just do things like, hey, would you do this? He's looking. He is up at the building all the time looking for things to do. He's calling people. Is there anything I can do? That's a valuable person. But I tell you, if you're not looking for that, you overlook people like that. My point is, I start valuing people. I got to value what you bring to the body of Christ, because when you help the body of Christ, you help me. So let's be grateful for what people do. Number four, get to know people. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, in this text, you remember the day of Pentecost, there were people from across the Roman world that were there. And a lot of people, they were just traveling for the day of Pentecost. They didn't live in Jerusalem. The gospel is preached, they become Christians, and there's this need, but these people are all with one another. They had to get to know each other. There are so many times, this is probably true here, like at Douglas Hills, if someone has been with the congregation for a while, and efforts have been made by other people to get to know them, But for some reason, they decide to leave. And one of the things they say is, well, I just never got close to anyone. You do realize this is a two-way street, right? You do realize that it's not just about the congregation reaching out to you. It's also about you reaching out to the congregation. I like you college students, okay? College students over here, some college students over here, okay, maybe somewhere. Over here, I mean, you guys, you're going to be invited to people's homes, and that's wonderful, that's great, but you got to want to get to know them too. I'm sure you will. I'm not saying this to point a finger at you, but you got to work at this, okay? And if you want to love people, you've got to try to get to know them, and you've got to open yourself up to other people. That's hard. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 25, Paul said, brothers, pray for us. Have you ever gone to a brother or sister in Christ and said, would you pray for me? There's a certain vulnerability that we have to have sometimes in the body of Christ that I don't think we embrace very well. And a lot of times, let's be honest, we don't embrace that vulnerability because we've been hurt by someone else. And I understand that there are times you don't feel like you can be open with everybody. But there need to be people within the congregation that you start opening yourself up to. The elders of the congregation. The preachers who are here to help. Some teacher, someone who encourages you. The more you open up to someone else, there is a degree of vulnerability we feel. And when you open yourself up to someone else, usually what happens is if the person's the right person to open yourself up to, then they're going to want to protect you. But you want to love other people. Start opening yourself up to other people. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, Paul said, bear one another's burdens. We need to know what those burdens are and be there for one another. And then, of course, James chapter 5, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another. There needs to be those people that you feel safe enough that you can go to and just start talking about the issues that you're struggling with. And then, as you seek other people to pray for you and you open yourself up, make sure you pray for other people. Fewer things are going to cause you to think about someone else in a kind way than when you pray for them. Have you found that to be so? I have over the years. Someone says, this is some need. Maybe it's a health issue. And when you start praying for them on a regular basis, you start thinking about them more and more. Well, I wonder how Brother So-and-so's doing. I wonder what's going on in their life. Now, you wouldn't have been thinking about them had you not been praying for them. So I would recommend that you, on a regular basis, have a list of people that you're praying for. And that's going to cause you to start thinking about them. And that's what I think open your love up for them. Paul in Philippians chapter 1 verse 3 said, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. You notice there we got two of those. Why was Paul loving them as much as he did? They took care of him and they helped him and he prayed for them. So make it a point when you pick up the bulletin and you see the prayer list. Make it a point to start praying for people. And you're going to find your hearts opening more and more to them. And let's close with this one. Serve other people. I know in a lot of ways you college kids, you're thinking like, you know, I'm just here for a little while. You know, there's really not a lot I can do. But there is. You know, the brethren here at this congregation have been doing what they've been doing for a long time. And I'm sure the elders can tell you of things that you can do right now to help serve. But it's not just about the young people here in college. It's about everyone in the congregation. One of our failings is we have a lot of congregations filled with people who come and sit, but they don't work. And I don't know what it's like here, but in every congregation I've ever been at, that's one of the big problems. I hope you recognize that in order for you to get the most out of this relationship with your brothers and sisters in Christ, you need to serve them. And you need to look for opportunities to do good to other people. Paul, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 25, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. I don't know what your gift is. You're going to discover that as you do the Christian walk. But as you begin to discover it right now in college, as you begin discover it as you grow as a child of God. Start using your gifts to help other people. Look for opportunities to give someone a ride to worship services. Look for opportunities to make a meal or buy a meal for a brother or sister who's in need. Take the time to give someone a call who you think may be down, or write a card. My wife, one of the great things she does is she writes cards to people all the time. All the time. And she's learned to forge my name pretty well. So somebody come up and they'll go, "Oh, Mark, thank you so much for that birthday card." And I'll go, "You're welcome." I don't have a clue. I now know it's their birthday, but she's Johnny on the spot. And people appreciate that. I've had people show me the cards that she writes. And you may think it's a small thing. But the more you do that, the more you think about people. And the more they respond. And in so doing, the more you love. We've got to be doing that, guys. That's what Christianity is about. Jesus said in Matthew 23 to the Pharisees that they tithe mint, anise, and cumin, but he said, "You've neglected the weightier matters of the law. Justice, mercy, and faithfulness." And he said, "These you should have done without leaving the others undone." I don't want anyone to walk away in any way thinking that I'm suggesting that things like how we serve God and being careful about serving God are not important, because they are. I'm saying there's something weightier, though. And if we don't get it, we're going to lose our souls. We're not going to give God the glory. In this world out there that's going crazy right now, we got to love. That's what it means to be a Christian. I can get frustrated with my fellow man, but I got to love. God wants this congregation and all of his people to be people who shine as lights in love. Let's go to God in prayer. Our Father, as we conclude this time together with one another, we pray that we'll think about the message of your word, your servant Paul, and help us to be people who accept the challenge to think about everything we do through the prism of love. May we stand for truth. May we act in a way that pleases you, not just in how we worship, but how we view our fellow man. Help us to love one another. Help us as Christians to lead in racial relations improving. Help us. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Well, if you're not a Christian, then we would love to help you in any way that we can now. Maybe you want to study some more. I know Brother Bob, Brother Gary, any of the elders. I'll be here this week. There'll be so many people who'd love to help you. If you're ready to become a child of God, the water's ready. You can be baptized tonight. If you're a child of God, you need help and you need prayers, then you have brothers and sisters here who love you. They'll do anything in the world for you to help you. So this is our time with one another. If you are subject to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come now while we stand and while we sing for your encouragement.